The past few weeks, I've been preaching through a series on the second coming of Christ or the rapture of the church. I'm not certain if I've finished with that sermon series, but I've enjoyed this past week of my vacation. And if I've enjoyed it, I kept thinking over and over and over again about the forgiveness of God. Aren't you thankful that God has forgiven you? Are you thankful that God forgave? Hey, listen, everything. Even that thing that nobody knows about but you and God. Aren't you glad that God forgave you that? I just could not just get over the forgiveness of God. Church, please know that I do not feel that I'm done with the Second Coming series, but for the life of me, I cannot help but think I am supposed to be preaching this morning on the forgiveness of God. I have tried to get away from this topic, moving back to the current series, but the Lord would not let me. I truly believe that there's someone here this morning that needs to hear this message, not because I'm preaching it, but because the Lord wants this message heard. I want us to try this morning to understand the forgiveness of God. Hey, listen, it's a deep subject. It's something that we kind of, you know, I'm forgiven. Yeah, but do you understand the depths of the forgiveness? You know, I posted that on Facebook and people, you know, liked it and some people shared it. But church, listen to me. Do you understand exactly what has happened? Do you understand the depths of how you were forgiven and what you were forgiven from and how you're continually being forgiven? I don't think we do. So this morning we're going to spend some time with that. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 or verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. From now on, then we do not know anyone in a purely human way. Even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know Him like that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have become. Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ. God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's good stuff right there, church. Can I read that again? Listen, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we might be... Is that what your Bible say? No, it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. We be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would steal our hearts right now. There wouldn't be any movement. God, You would just help us to be attentive. You would wake us and shake us, God. It's cold outside and it's warm in here. And usually when that combination takes place, our eyes get sleepy. Lord, help us not to be sleepy this morning, but to be attentive to hear what You have to say to our hearts, God. Lord, I desperately think that I know that You want this message heard, not because of me, but because of You. So, Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to see ourselves this morning the way You see us, that we might be greater servants for You when we walk out these doors here in a few moments. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Church, I do not understand this type of forgiveness that I just read about. I do not understand this kind of forgiveness. But I accept this forgiveness, don't you? It's hard to understand, but it's easy to accept. And I accept this kind of forgiveness. This morning, I want to explore what I do not understand, but I accept the forgiveness of Christ. First thing I don't understand is this. I do not truly understand why Jesus would die for me. I don't. I really don't. And I want you to think about this as I'm preaching, and insert yourself here. Can anybody stand up and give a testimony right now, this morning, why you think that you were righteous enough for Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to step through the gates of heaven, to come to this miserable earth, to live, to preach, to die, and to die for you? Is there anything that you've done? How great of a person you are. How you are deserving of that death. Anybody want to stand and give testimony this morning? Listen, church, I don't understand why Jesus would die for me. For me. I just don't understand that. Church, and this is why. I'm a sinner. Well, hold on a second. You're a preacher. Yeah? Scripture says in 1 John, if a man says he is without sin, therefore he is a liar. Church, we all sin. All of us sin. But church, do you understand? Jesus died, and yet I'm still a sinner. That boggles my mind that Jesus would die for me. He would die for me personally. I totally understand what Paul wrote in Romans 7:15 when he wrote this. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. This was Paul, one of the greatest apostle. And he's making this comment. I don't understand why I don't do what I know I'm supposed to do, and I do the things that I hate to do. Church, Jesus died for us. He died for me. He died for us to sin. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't equate. Church, I don't understand why Jesus died for me for another reason. Because I'm a wretch. I am a wretch. And as I walked through this past week and I tried to enjoy my vacation, God kept reminding me of who I really am. See, we puff ourselves up and we try to, you know, well, I know I'm bad. I know I'm a sinner. But I'm not as bad as Caleb. You know, I'm not as bad as Bryce. I'm not as bad as Jeter. You know, I know I'm bad and I sin. Scripture tells me I sin and I know that I sin, but I'm not as bad as Mr. White. Isn't that what we do? Listen, our sin, my sin, your sin, ought to draw us to our knees and want us to have a greater relationship with God, because I'm telling you, it's just like the song we do. We can't make it without Him. We can't. We need Him. Did I tell y'all to sing that song? We need Him. Every hour we need Him. Why? Because of our sinful nature. You know, I have problems with people who won't admit they sin. It seems like every family has one person in their family. Well, I have a couple. You know, they've already reached sinless perfection here on this earth. Really? And I like to show them that verse in 1 John where it does say, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. Well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. Really? Scripture. Scripture doesn't apply to you. Hey, listen, it blows my mind. Church, I'm a wretch. I am a wretch. But Jesus still forgives me. Church, I know who I am, and you know who you are. Right? I know who I am. I know what I have done. I know what I continue to do. Can someone please tell me why in the world Jesus went and died a miserable death on the cross for us? Bob, for us. Why? Why would He do it? I don't totally understand this kind of love. Do you? I don't. Now, I think I've got a little grasp, and I'm going to share that with you in the end. But I don't, Tony, I don't get this kind of love that we can sin and continue in sin, and Jesus still died for us. He knew us way before we knew ourselves. He knew everything about us, and He still knows everything about us. And listen, He still died for us. He still felt that we were worthy enough to die for. Church, Jesus died for us because He loves us. But why does He love us so much, church? Why? I don't get it. I really don't get why Jesus loves us so much. What have we ever done? Think with me. What have we ever done? What, Verlinda, what have we ever done to deserve such love? what is it? What do we do? It just doesn't equate. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. This doesn't add up. What have we ever done to merit, Mark, to deserve this kind of love? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The second thing I don't understand is this. I don't truly understand why Jesus would continue to forgive me. I don't get it. You know, we as humans, we do this. Tell me you don't. I'll tell you you are not. When people do you wrong, we as good Christians, we'll say, you know, well, I have to overlook them, right? I mean, you and Reagan, y'all been seeing each other for some time, and I'm sure she's done something. I know. She's done something to get on your nerves, right? Don't answer that. Look at her. She's shaking her head. And the first time you say, oh, well, you know, that's just the way it is. The second time it's like, you know, I already told her about that. You know, the third time it's like, what's the deal? Y'all with me? But the fourth time, it seems like four is the magic number. I think it's baseball because we're, you know, in baseball. After three strikes, what happens? What happens, Sharon? You're out. That's right. Three strikes and you're out. After the third strike, you're out. You're done. We cancel them. But God says no. No. I don't get this. You know, how in the world can He continue over and over and over and over to forgive us? Now, I want to admit some things to you. Church, as I sat there and I contemplated this, this is who I am. God forgives me continually and to great depths. Listen, my time slips away from me. My actions at times deplore me. My eyes deceive me. My thoughts at times sicken me. My lack of discipline haunts me. And the thoughts of one day standing in front of a holy and righteous God scare me to death. And listen to me. If the thoughts of standing in front of a holy, righteous God, I don't care who you are, doesn't scare you, something's wrong with you. Do you understand that you're going to stand before the one who took all the sins of all the world away? You personally. And it's not going to be you and the boys or you and the girls or you and your friends. It is going to be a one-on-one encounter with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're going to stand in front of Him. You know, it's easy to face punishment when you got your buddy. You know, that's why your buddy threw you under the bus because he didn't want to go alone by himself. Y'all know that, right? But you're going to stand before Jesus by yourself. Church, that scares me. Church, I don't realize, or do you realize, that I sin every day. Bob, every day, and He still allows me to be a preacher. Every single day, I sin. Do you realize that you sin every single day? Every day. Every single day. Listen, we try to rationalize that sin, but do you realize that we have accepted the love of God and yet continue to sin? And get this, Jesus continues to forgive us of our sin if we are faithful to confess our sins to Him. Church, this is hard to believe. This is hard to believe, isn't it? That Jesus would die for us, He would understand that we're sinners and continue to forgive us of our sin? Is this hard to believe? Brother Kyle, I don't get this. Well, can I show you some scriptures that reflect this just quickly? Remember the woman at the well? Y'all remember her? Y'all remember her? Listen, she had five husbands and the man she was currently with was not her husband. Guess what Jesus did? He forgave her. He did. Is that our nature? No. I have to tell you something here. I have to admit this, and golly, this is hard. Oh boy, this is hard. You know, as a preacher, you know, I see things that happen a lot, and I read the news, and I watch the news, and there's times, Steve, that I'll say something real quick, and I wish that I didn't say it, especially around Amy. You know, I'll watch a news story and you'll see this person, you know, this just bad person do something bad. And I'll make the comment, they're going to bust hell wide open. You know what Amy does? You know what she says to me? Jesus still loves them. Always has to throw Jesus in it. I can't be content because what they did, they deserve. Hey, listen, they were bad people. They you know, take for instance, you know, the person who cut that woman's head off not long ago from, you know, that peaceful religion of Islam. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? Cut the woman's head off. And I'm thinking, you know, that person, they're going to bust hell wide open. Jesus still loves them. We don't want to feel that, dude. We don't want to hear that. Hey, we've got military women and men in our church who have gone and fought against this evil. Jesus still loves them. We don't want to accept that, do we? But he does. He still loves them. Give me another example, Brother Kyle. How about King David? King David who committed adultery with a woman and then killed her husband. He's going to bust hell wide open. Mm-mm. Do y'all know that Jesus still loved him? Does that make sense to you? Listen, is it starting to come together while I'm preaching this morning? He died for us knowing that we were going to commit these sins, and Gary still continued to forgive us over and over and over and over and over again. Listen, God forgave David and restored him. Forgave him and restored him. Now, David wasn't allowed to do the desire of his heart and build God the temple because there was so much blood on his hands, but God restored him. After all that he had done, Glenn, he shouldn't have gotten that. Well, it's not us to give, is it? And it's a good thing because we wouldn't give that grace. We wouldn't give that love. We wouldn't give that mercy, but God does. I don't understand it. I really don't. God restored David. How about the prostitute that Jesus forgave? She was about to be stoned to death, and Jesus looked at her accusers and said, "He who has the least amount of sin, cast the first stone." Did Jesus throw a stone? What would we have done? Oh, yeah. We'd have cast her out. We can't have that kind of person in our church. Listen to me. That's exactly where they need to be. Really is. We can't have adulterers and this and that and all that. We can't have them in the church. Jesus said we can. As a matter of fact, they ought to be the ones we ought to be going after. Listen, they need the love of God more than anybody. They really do. Church, do you know what this means? How radical this is? Do you understand what this means? Do you understand that Jesus will forgive you this morning? Do you know that He wants you to come to Him right now? Doesn't matter what you've done, right now, and ask Him to forgive you. And He will give you that forgiveness. It's mind-blowing. We don't deserve it. Listen, I can't find any depths. I can't find any limits. Excuse me, I can't find any limits to the depth of this forgiveness of Christ. I can't. I've looked. Bob, I cannot find the depths. I can't find where there's a cutoff point this morning. What does this mean? That murderers, molesters, liars, homosexuals, wife beaters, cheats, crooks, robbers. Listen, if you have life and breath in you right now and will admit that you have sinned against God, will repent of that sin and turn your face towards God, God will forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've done, what road you've gone down, how bad you've been, God will forgive you. Brother Kyle, do you understand it? No. Will most people offer that same forgiveness? No. Will some people in the church be resentful, not just this church, any church, be resentful when they see that person who has been forgiven so much come to church? Oh, yeah. But listen to me. This is hard. This is another lesson my wife has, you know, kind of thrown my way. If Jesus forgives them, how come you can't? If Jesus forgave them, what business is it of yours not to forgive them? To listen, not only that, he makes us do even more. You ought to love them the way Christ loved them. Did they do wrong? Absolutely. Nobody is detesting that. Nobody is going to stand up and say they didn't do wrong. But we're to love them the same way Jesus loved them. You know what that is? Limitless. And when they mess up again, Keith, you know what we're supposed to do? It's hard. You know what we're supposed to do? Forgive them. Forgive them. Time and time and time again. Listen, church, Jesus forgives us because He loves us. But why does He love us so much? What have we ever done to deserve such love? How can God love us the way He does, church? This morning, Scripture tells us how God and why God loves us. And I just read it. Number one, when we accept Christ, we become a new creation. We become a new creation. Is it all in one day? Boy, I wish it was. I really wish it was. I wish that it was like some people think it is, and the picture they paint. It's, you know, some Christians who are soul winners, they're lying. They don't tell the truth. Listen, if you'll just accept Jesus right now, it's going to be wonderful for the rest of your life. No, it's not. It's not. You're going to get everything. You know that Cadillac you've been praying for? You're going to get that, and it's going to get 80 miles to the gallon. Just because you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior today. No, it's not going to be easy all the time. It's really not. But it's going to be worth it. In the end, listen, it's going to be worth it. Scripture tells us this morning that we're a new creation, but it tells us something else. It says, when we accepted Christ, we became reconciled to God. You see, before you accepted Christ, your personal Savior, there was no reconciliation between you and God. But when you heard God's voice and you responded to that voice and you accepted Him, you were reconciled to God. It doesn't seem like you did that much, but all you did was what He told you to do. Come to Him and you were reconciled to God. Thirdly, this scripture this morning tells us this. When we accepted Christ, we became ambassadors for God. That's pretty good, isn't it? We became ambassadors for Him. Church, listen, the reason God loves us, and you might have seen it, you might not, but I'm going to just reveal it to you right here in a second. The reason Jesus loves us and continues to forgive us is because we belong to Him. We're His children. We, the church, are His bride. That's why He loves us. I can't explain it. Still don't understand it. I get a little greater picture, but I still don't get it. We belong to Him. That's why He loves us and why He continues to forgive us. Let me try to explain it this way. Oh boy. When I was, 12, 13, 14 years old, I've told you, I was a bad kid. I should have been in one of them reform schools. Really, Amy and I were talking this morning. I don't know how I didn't go to jail, y'all. I'm glad I didn't go to jail, but Brother Frank, I should have gone to jail. I really should have. I hung around with a group of boys, and when I was by myself, I was a pretty good kid. I mean, I'd shoot out windows with my BB gun and stuff like that, but what boy doesn't do that, right? You know, listen, parents, don't buy your children BB guns. I'm just telling you, don't do it. But, when I was around this group of boys, Bob, I was bad. I was really bad. And we started going into people's houses when they weren't home. Now, that's called breaking and entering, okay? Now, we weren't stealing TVs and jewelry and stuff like that. We were just, we were just walking around looking. And we'd get, candles and, stuff that teenage boys, we'd just look, all right? But that's wrong. Bad wrong. Guys, don't do that. Colin, you hear me? Son, don't do that. Alec, I know you've got tendencies. Don't do that. Gary. This is what happened. This is how I'm getting ready to help you understand why I said that. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. I knew when I was doing it was wrong. I was at a party And the parents, we didn't have cell phones back then. The parents came to me and said, "Are you Kyle?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, your mom and dad are on their way to get you." Now, Ricky, I don't know how it was when you were growing up, but Friday and Saturday night when you're out and it's like 9 o'clock and you get a message your parents are coming to get you, John, that's usually not a good thing. And your mind starts flooding. Okay, what do they know? What did they know? Well, they'd found out that, you know, one of the neighbors had figured out, okay, Brother Kyle, you know, it wasn't Brother Kyle, it was Kyle then. Kyle did this, he's been in my house, you know, they found some stuff in my room and they were coming to get me. I got in the car and I thought, oh my, it's on. I'm going to get beat to death because my dad believed in, my dad's not a Christian, but he believed in Proverbs 23:13. He did. Beat them with a rod, they will not die. He believed in that scripture. He really did. But you know, one of the worst things that happened to me was this. A couple days later, my mom looked at me and she said, "Son, I want you to know what you did was wrong." She didn't have to tell me that, I knew. She said, "Please don't do it again. But I want you to understand, you're going down the wrong road. But something I want you to understand for the rest of your life, I still love you." Only a parent can do that. If you break into my house and I'm home, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to try not to kill you. Keith will kill you. I'm going to try and maim you, okay? I've got, you know, triple alt buck, and I'm going to shoot for a leg. That's going to slow you down. Keith's going to kill you, aren't you? He doesn't play. I'll forgive you. Keith will send flowers. Church, do you realize that Jesus forgives you the way He does because you belong to Him? Hey, even the lost. Do you see what's happening in the world? Jesus wants to forgive. He wants you to come to Him and realize what He already knows. I am a sinner and I need to be forgiven. What is it that I want you to take away from this message this morning? Number one, church, Jesus loves you and He died that you would love and accept Him as your personal Savior and Lord. That's why He died. Did He deserve that? Absolutely not. He took your place. He took what you deserve, what I deserve. Number two, church, Jesus loves you so much that even though you have continued in sin, He will forgive you of that sin if only you'll come and confess that sin to Him. Are you willing to do what you know is right, to come and confess your sin to Jesus? Lastly, church, Jesus loves you because you belong to Him. Will you trust Him to forgive you right now, here in this place, this morning? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that You would be with us this morning. God, I pray that Your Spirit would move in a way that only Your Spirit can move. I pray that You convict hearts, open eyes and ears and hearts, and help us to be receptive, Lord, to Your Spirit this morning. We don't deserve what You continue to give us, God. Help us, Lord, this morning to fall on our face before You and worship You through repentance, asking You to forgive us of where we failed You, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?